Welcome to guests that are here, first-time guests. We're thankful to have you at Promised Land. I have met several first-time guests today. Please make yourself at home. We're thankful that you're here. Glad that you're here. We want to help answer any questions that you might have today. We're just really thankful to have you. And then we have folks joining us online today. We're glad that you're with us online, wherever you are, whenever you are. Sometimes people watch archive services years later. So if you're in 2030 and you're watching this old service, we thank you. But we have many people watching us live right now all over the place. So we want to welcome everybody. Let's give them a hand right now. Welcome them into our midst. This little thing has been up all day and I've been wanting to close it. So I just closed it. All right. Some of you have we've been singing and praying and worshiping God, you might have felt a little different or weird because you're not really in the family yet. You know, you're new, not just new to Promised Land, but new to Christianity. Or maybe you're not a believer yet. We're glad that you're here. We welcome you. We want you to know that this is a place where you can be a part and belong. And there'll be a day when you're ready to give your life to God, and we're ready for that. Some of you, that might be today. And not just when I say give your heart to God, I'm not talking about joining a church or beginning a religious experience or being good at churchy things. I'm talking about actually having a relationship with the creator of the world, God, Heavenly Father, knowing Him, Him knowing you, having conversations with God that are personal and intimate and practical. And so some of you might begin that today. And that won't happen today because, or you're not eligible for that today because this whole week you've been trying really hard and you did mess up. And so today you can have a relationship with God. Or, you know, I'm gonna be good. I'm going to be a good person. And because you're a good person all week, today you can have a relationship with God. That's not how you have a relationship with God. You come the way you are, whether you did great this week or you screwed up this whole life. You can come into the atmosphere today and talk to God. We're going to pray here in a minute. When we pray, you can talk to God for the first time, give your life to God. And it's because of what God did for you already that you can have a relationship with Him. Not because of what you have done or will do, but it's because of what He's done for you already. He lived the perfect life that you've always wanted to live. He never made a mistake. He was flawless at work. He was very successful. When he was 33 years old, the people were ready to make him king, take over the Roman government, be the ruler of the world. He was successful. He was popular. He did everything amazing. He never made mistakes. He lived the life we've always wanted. But there at the end, he said, I have a deal for the world. I will give you what I have deserved if you'll give me what you've deserved. Well, what is a broken humanity deserve that has rejected God and lived in rebellion? We deserve to be separated from God and punished. And so that's why Jesus went to the cross and died for us. He was taking our place. And the deal for us is if you will trust that Jesus already did everything that needs to be done in order for you to have a relationship with God, if you'll trust that Jesus did that, you will be saved. Those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, we call on you today. And we believe that you did everything needed for me to have salvation. I believe you did that. Man, when we pray that prayer, wow, new beginning, fresh start. So we're going to pray in a minute. And I want to encourage everybody that's ready to pray that prayer. Because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going to happen. In fact, this past Thursday, I was having a meeting in the conference room. Conference door was closed. And Pastor Will comes knocking and barging in, which is very rare, right? He said, one of our elders, Santiago Alfaro, has passed away. And very sudden news, very tragic news. We've had several people. You know, we have a young church, so we don't have a lot of death in our church. We have had several people pass, but never an elder. And so, very, very difficult news. He suffered from Parkinson's for many years, had heart conditions, one day he was up on a ladder fixing a light, and he fell off the ladder and hurt his back. He had to have back surgery. He just had many multiple situations going on in his life, but he wasn't deathly ill Thursday. You know, this was a very big surprise, even though he had those conditions. We have a picture of him. Would you show that picture? So he's the one in the middle. All these men are amazing men in our church. I love every one of those five guys right there. Awesome guys. Yes. After the first service, Pete Quintero said, that looks like the Mexican mafia or something up there. Got trench coats on, man. They're ready to go. But they are disciples of Jesus, all right? And so Santiago there in the middle, great, great man, father, husband. His wife and kids were at the first service today. And I want you to please continue to pray for them. His memorial service will be here on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Visitation Tuesday night at Harold Funeral Home in Kyle that evening. But Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. will be his funeral here at the church. And so Thursday is my sermon preparation day. I've reserved that day, block it off, to prepare a sermon. And so, as you can imagine, when I got this news, that schedule got wrecked. And went and visited the family and did all that. But then I just felt like God say, Santiago is going to preach on Sunday. His life is going to preach on Sunday. So I took the notes that I already had created, and I took Santiago's life, and I said, Santiago lived this message every day of his life. So I'm just going to keep giving you little episodes of his life throughout the message. Here's the topic. Here's the point. My availability is my greatest ability. My greatest ability is availability. Take that word availability. It's two words, actually. It's avail and ability. You are able to avail. Well, who uses the word avail, right? I mean, Marilyn is kind of weird. She uses that word. Okay. She's an amazing writer, so she has a great vocabulary. Avail means that you take advantage of an opportunity or resource. So availability means you are able to take advantage of every opportunity and resource. You're able to do that. Well, that is your greatest ability. We all have ability. We all have things we can do well, good skills, talents, ability. We all have ability. We can never have enough, though, for it to be good enough. So as good of a carpenter, as good as a manager, as good as a teacher, a parent, a husband, you have ability to do all that, but at some point you reach a point where you need help, and God's ability is the answer. God's ability is the greatest ability. Our greatest ability is our avail ability. Y'all with me so far? Get an English lesson today and a sermon at the same time. Okay. So the local church in the Bible is compared to a body. We're a body. It says we're fitly joined together. Everybody in here is a body part. You're a part of the body of Christ. If you're a believer, Those of you that aren't a believer, when you become a believer in Jesus and you put your faith in him, like we were talking about earlier, you become activated in the part of a body. So if I'm looking at this pinky, I'm saying, pinky, I want you to be ready and make yourself available when a time comes for the body to need a pinky. And I want you to be the best pinky you can be when I need a pinky. Be ready. Be available. Yes, be ready and be available. I don't need you to be an elbow. I don't need you to be an ear. I don't need you to be an eye. I need you to be the best pinky you can be. Be ready. That's you. That's me. Be ready. Be available. Able to avail. Taking an opportunity to grab onto something, right? Hold on. That's what you do, pinky. All those things. Three core ways that we make ourselves available. The first one is I make my talent available. So we do have talent. We do have skills. I make my talent able ready. I make it ready. I make my talent ready. I make it available. Isaiah, the great prophet, had an enormous experience with God. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, first verse. I see the Lord high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. The glory of the Lord, Isaiah was talking about this amazing experience that he has in the presence of God. It's intoxicating. It's thick. There's angels singing, holy, holy, holy. What a great experience that Isaiah has with God. And then, 8 verses later, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And that's this availability. Isaiah gives us the classic example for us to live by. You've been in the presence of God. You've experienced the salvation of God. You experienced the glory of God. Thank you for saving me. You've been baptized. You've been entered into the kingdom. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. And you have a moment with him. What's next? What's next is, here am I, send me. Obedience. Obedience follows my faith. Obedience follows my experience with God. I can't wait for you to use me in some way. I'm available. Here I am. Send me. We all have that decree in our life. Here am I, send me. Some of you are here and you're like, well, you're the pastor, right? You're supposed to be doing this. I'm here to say that I'm not supposed to be doing all the work. And you're not supposed to be here watching me do all the work. But you are to participate in being available. Ephesians 4 and 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the teachers and pastors. Their responsibility is to what? To equip God's people to what? To sit on a chair and watch the pastor. To equip God's people to do his work. To do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So this is what we often think is the case, that when we hear about these gifts that God has given, we think of it as God gave Robin a gift as pastor. Here, Robin, here's a gift for you. You're the pastor. That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying that God gave the church the gift of the pastor. I am a gift to you. And you can't return me. There's no receipt to send me back. It's not me. It's not Robin. I'm not the gift. This office is the gift that I'm simply filling right now. At some point, it may be somebody else. We have other pastors in the church that God has given. Those roles were given to all of us so that this gift, this pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, apostles, would help all of us become equipped to do the work of God. and build the kingdom of God. This is a gift to the church from God. We are the church. We all are the church. We're the people. The people are the church. The people are the body. And we're all to be a minister. Everybody, a minister. What? I don't have a degree. I didn't go to seminary. I don't know, you know, the sixth book of the Bible and blah, blah, blah. All these excuses. No, that's not what this is saying. You don't have to be an official person and clergy or whatever, but every single person in the body of Christ is to be activated to have their talents used for God, to build the kingdom of God. So that there's a shift that happens at some point where a lot of people have the mentality that the church members are like serfs. Y'all remember, that's S-E-R-F, and then the Lord of the manor oversees everything, and so all the serfs are here to be fed and be protected and be, you know, administered everything by the leader, the pastor. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not the family of God. The family of God is that we're all activated to participate, and that at some point you get out of the high chair and you take off the bib and you begin to feed yourself. Woo, yeah. And you're not always saying, you know? You grow up and you take responsibility and you start saying, this is what God has put in my life. These are the talents that God has put in my life. I'm going to make them available. I'm going to let God use what he has put in my life. And so instead of having a consumerism mentality about church and saying, what can the church do for me? What can I get out of the church? And complaining when it's not going well or right or leaving or quitting or whatever. You're saying, I have come to participate, to give what I can give. And it's not going exactly right, but I want to be a part of what is going right. Yeah. And I want to be a part. I want to share. I want to give. And the Bible says at least 58 times, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. There's so many one another's in the Bible. Now when you're reading the Bible, you go, oh, there's another one another. Yeah, keep reading them. It doesn't say, go to the pastor and he will love on you. Go to the pastor and he will care for you. Go to the pastor and he will encourage you. Go to the pastor and make an appointment on Thursday at 3:30 and he's going to do this. No, that's not what it says. This is one another. Now, I'm not telling you I don't want to do those things for you. I would love to encourage you and pray for you and help you and counsel you. But I can't do that for everybody. I just can't. There's too many people and not enough time. But the Bible doesn't say that that's the way it goes. The way it goes is that everybody is a part. Everybody is activated. Everybody's allowing their talents to be used so that you don't have to wait on me to have time to help you. You can just help one another, encourage one another, love on one another, support one another. So what do you have? What can you do? Instead of making excuses about what you can't do, think about what you can do. Santiago had Parkinson's the last few years of his life. And so Parkinson's a very debilitating disease. It makes you have tremors. You just have a hard time holding on to things, writing, typing, walking. Many functional things become very difficult when you have Parkinson's disease because the nervous systems begin having all these issues. And so if you have Parkinson's disease, you have a pass to not do anything, really. I mean, it's a free pass to not get involved in church. Well, I have Parkinson's, I can't do that. Well, I have Parkinson's, I don't go to that. You know, but that's not the way Santiago was at all. There was no reason for him not to be involved. And so Santiago was involved in so many things. He started out here going door to door and just praying for people at apartment complexes and duplexes here in San Marcos. Then when that became too hard, he started helping us out in the booth here. And he would help run our TV camera until he physically couldn't run the TV camera anymore because his hand started twitching, couldn't hold it still. And so instead of him going, well, I got to stop doing everything because I have Parkinson's disease and heart trouble and all this, he said, what can I do. So he's thought, I can sit in a chair and I can speak Spanish. And there are people in our church that don't have a grasp on the English language very good. What if I sat in a chair and interpreted the sermon into Spanish, and that would help people that speak Spanish only? And so he began by himself to interpret our services in Spanish. And he would hold the microphone and he would speak Spanish while I was speaking English. And the people to this day now at the second service have headphones that want to listen to the service in Spanish and then get the interpretation. Well, when he had a hard time holding the microphone because his hand was shaking, we got a mic stand. He said, I don't want to quit. I just need a mic stand. This guy can't hold a microphone anymore. And he began to interpret in Spanish, sitting, here I am, send me. That's what he lived his life. I can't do that. I can't do that anymore. And I can't, but what can I do? What is it that I can do? And so finding something, digging deep, you know, and finding, thinking, what can I do? Today at 5 o'clock in the other building next door, we call it our student center, we are gathering for what we call Next Steps Night at 5 o'clock. We have a free meal, home cooked meal. In fact, they're already preparing it right now as I'm speaking to you. But we'll gather at 5 p.m. We have a free meal. We have childcare, totally free, provided for you. We'll sit down for a couple hours and talk to you about you. Where are you in life? Where are you in your spiritual life? We take surveys. We help you discover spiritual gifts that God has given you. We help you discover personality profiles that God has given you, how to use those in the kingdom. Then we lay out all the things that are happening at Promised Land, how you can use those personalities and spiritual gifts and your history and your passion, what makes you upset, what makes you excited, you know, all these different things that are who God has made you to be. We help you go to the next step of whatever God's calling you to do. So I want to encourage everybody in here, if you have not gone through this night and you're in a place right now where you're struggling and trying to figure out how could I make my talent available, we want to help you with that. And it may be that your talent or whatever you can do is something that we're not even doing here at Promised Land right now. And Santiago could have been like, well, you know, there's no Spanish ministry here, so I guess I can't do it, you know, or no, he took it as, there's no Spanish ministry here, and this is what God's given me the ability to do, so I'm going to start it. I'm going to start. Maybe God brought me here to do this. Yeah. So totally different perspective, right? We're gonna make our talent available. Then at 6 o'clock tonight, in this room right here, I want to invite all the folks that are already serving in some capacity. Sunday school teachers, musicians, singers, ushers, hospitality, prison ministry, production, online ministry, hospital. I mean, anybody that's already serving in any capacity. I want to invite you here tonight, 6 o'clock in this room. And Pastor Norman Gray from India will be here. And he's going to be speaking to all of us and encouraging. It's going to be a night of refreshing. I don't know if you've ever heard him or not, but probably our volunteers and servers have. He's just a great guy, very passionate about God, leads over 18 churches in India. He's 38 years old, and he's already started 18 churches over there. He's just a powerful man. He's going to come speak to us tonight. So come on out, 5 o'clock, if you're on the newer side and you're ready to get plugged in and get connected. 6 o'clock here, if you have already been connected. All right, the second way we make ourselves available is I make my treasure available. I make my treasure. So the first thing we talked about is I make my talent available, but now we're going to make our treasure available. What's your treasure? Well, let's go back in time a little bit. Back in time, it was your crops, your agricultural system, your donkey, your sheep, your lambs, your livestock. It was coins. It was your hut, your house, your cave. Whatever you have, whatever you possess, that's your treasure. You make it available for God to use. And so I want to encourage you. This is your home, your car, your vehicle, your money. Anything that you have, that you possess, that's your treasure that God has blessed you with. Some of you can open your home for a small group session. Maybe even if you don't lead it, somebody else could lead it. You could just offer your treasure, your home, your space. Maybe you could offer somebody a ride to go to the doctor appointment, or you could offer, we have people in our church that don't have vehicles. We have people in our church that are blind, that are unable to drive. We have people in our church that have epilepsy that can't drive. Different special needs, different options for you to offer a car, your treasure. But I want to talk to you about your money also. You have a choice to hold on to your finances and let them be your finances only, or you have an availability to give that, turn that over to God. I want you to be the Lord of my finances. I want you to be the Lord of my resources. And there was a lady in 1 Kings 17 chapter, her only resource was enough cornmeal and enough oil for one cake. That's all she had left. The man of God came to her and said, I want you to make that cake and give it to me. And if you will give that first cake that you have, the only cake that you have, to God, he's going to give you enough cornmeal and oil for the rest of your life to feed your family. You'll never have to worry about cornmeal and oil again. But here's the deal. You have to give all you have right now to the man of God. That's a pretty bold thing. Pretty, very bold thing. This is 1 Kings 17 chapter. She does it, and the story goes on that she was blessed, and she never had to worry about oil and cornmeal again. God did miraculous things in her life, like bringing her son back from the dead as well. When we hand over, we have an open, when we make our palms open, our finances open, our treasure available to God. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Just always, always open and cheerfully taking something that you have in your possession and saying, God, I'm taking it from my possession, I'm taking it out of my control, and I'm putting it into your economy. I'm taking it into your local church and allowing you to do something with it. If I was preaching this in the first service and I started getting this amen over here, amen, amen, I was like, who is that? It was Mike Hall. Mike Hall started amening me during this part. I thought, what's going on? And then I remembered a couple weeks ago when we were switching our big online system. We had this online system called The City, and we're right in the middle of switching it over to one called Realm. And in a week or two, we'll let you know all about that. Realm is bigger and better, and it's got bells and whistles, but The City has been faithful for a long time. And people are giving through The City financially. That's how you gave online, was through The City. Well, he tried to give his offering the day we were switching it over, and so it wasn't working. And so he called up at the church and was like, I'm trying to give right now and it's not working. I said, if you'll just hang on a second. Hang on, Mike. Hang on. I got to give. Okay, that's awesome. I love that. So passionate about it. Why are you so passionate? Because he knows the principle. He lives by the principle. It's not because we've been whipping him. Oh, you got to give, and you have to, Mike, you sorry dog, you haven't given. And so he's like, oh, I got to give, I got. That's not the way he lives his life. He lives his life with his treasure is available. My hands are open to you, God. And so he got paid that day. When he got paid that day, he has a habit. Whenever I get paid, I give. Whenever I get paid, I give. Whenever I get, that's just the way he lives his life. And so when the website wasn't working that day, he's like, he's having like a moment, like a withdrawal. I was like, just hang on. We got it fixed. Realm's working now. Realm's working good. Santiago was a man that gave consistently every time he got paid. Every time he got paid. And he worked for IRS, And he had a pretty good job at IRS. And you can imagine if you work for IRS that, you know, there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of bureaucracy, there's a lot of levels of management and laws and rules and all those kind of things within his employment there. And so whenever he got paid, he would always give 10% to the church. That was just the way he lived his life. And the last few years, though, he'd been suffering so much from his Parkinson's that he was unable to work efficiently like he had before. So his bosses at IRS are telling him, you know, hey, you need to talk about, you know, retirement, maybe forced retirement, laying him off. And so we would pray. He would talk to us about this. Hey, I want to pray about my retirement. I want to pray about disability. It was like caught up in the system, and they were negotiating it. And so this was going for months and months, over a year, all this was going on. So you got to think about what he's thinking about in his mind. What if I lose my job? What if I don't get disability? All these, you know, heavy questions that are in his heart. What if? And so he could have thought, well, I'm not going to give as much to God because I need to start saving some of that back in case I lose my job. But as I was preparing this, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go look. And I don't do this all the time. I mean, I don't like it looking at it. But I thought, I'm just going to go see. And up till last week, like clockwork, every single check. And it's to the same penny every week. There's a few other people that give like that. And there's an older lady that gets her check, retirement from the government, whatever you call that, Social Security. To the penny, I'm putting God first. I'm making my treasure available to Him. I want Him to have authority over everything in my life. The third way is I make my time available. And your time is actually more valuable than your money. You can always make more money. You can always go get another job. You can always get a better job, theoretically, right? You can always get another one. But you can never make more time, ever. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. We're all going to shift from this life to the other at some point. And your time in this realm is going to be over at some point. There's an allotted time for you to live, and there is a time that's going to happen. And the older you get, the more real this gets, right? When you're younger, you're like, the world's ahead of me. Everything's awesome. I'm invincible. Retirement, what's that? That's like, I got plenty of time to think about that, right? And then the older you get, you think, I might want to start thinking about that a little bit. I turned 42 this year, and I'm on that downhill. I've crossed the line. I'm on the second half. Some of y'all are moaning out there. I don't know. They're further along than I am or what, but you start thinking about that. James in the New Testament says life is like a mist. Job in the Old Testament says, for we were born but yesterday and know nothing. Our days on earth are as fleeting as a shadow. Think about the movement of the shadow. That's from the sun, right? The sun's always moving. Shadow's always moving. You have the lawn chair in the right spot. You got the shade tree. But then just in a few minutes, the shadow's moving. You got to move the lawn chair, right? That's what life is like. We're just here for a minute, then we're gone. We're just here for a few years and then we're gone. And I love that he said, we're just born yesterday and don't know anything. Know nothing. Ignorant. Then you turn 14, you know everything, right? And then you get older, you're like, wait, no, I really don't know everything. Make your time available to God. You just have a little bit of it. So make it available to God. Enable your calendar to honor God. Enable your daily routine Allow your calendar and your daily routine to reflect your submission to God and your reliance on God. So if you really rely on God, you really submit to God, let your life actually reflect that by allowing God's thinking into your schedule, into your actually the way you plan your week. So you're here today. Everybody in here gets a gold star. You came to church on Sunday. Yeah. Yay. Some of you, it was an accident. You randomly got here, right? Let's make it a priority. Put it on the calendar. Put it on the schedule. I'm going to make it to church. I'm going to make it to church. I'm going to gather with other believers and celebrate everything that you are to me, God. I'm putting you on my calendar. Whether it's gathering on Sunday or it's connecting with other believers throughout the week, if it's prayer, if it's reading the Bible, if it's cooking for a neighbor, whatever it is, put him in your calendar. On Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m., I gather with men over in the other building for Wednesday morning prayer. This past week, there was 8 of us that gathered over there. And on Tuesday morning, we have a women's gathering at 6 a.m. It's early, right? We pray for about an hour, and then many of us go to breakfast afterwards and then off to work. And I just want to make the invitation open for you guys. If you want to come, please come. You don't have to. You can just come one time if you want. It's not like a club or anything. You don't even have to know how to pray. You can just show up and listen to us pray and learn. Learn how to pray. We're not going to put you on the spot or embarrass you or anything. Just come on out and join. Tuesday, women, 6 a.m. Men, 6 a.m. Wednesday. Almost every Wednesday morning, when we're praying, about 6:10, there'll be a dark shadow start shuffling into the room. It was Santiago. And because he had Parkinson's, you know, he couldn't walk real well, and he had a hard time driving. But he put God in his calendar on Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. He made it to prayer. And, man, I'm going to miss that shadow shuffling in there on Wednesday morning. But there's a lot of shadows out here in the seats that could start shuffling, right? This card, here we are. As you're entering the building today, you got one of these cards. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. We want to pass one out to you. This is a connection card today. If you want to connect with us this week, this is the best way to do it. I told you about next steps. I mean, you can just show up tonight. That's one way of doing it, but this card's another way. Easter is 1 month away. It's April the 1st. It's not a joke. It's not April Fool's. It's actually on April 1st, Easter. We're going to have 4 services this year on Easter because there's no way we can get everybody in here on Easter on 3 services. In fact, I'm thinking next year we may have to have 5. We may need 5 this year. But so I'm just a little foreshadowing there. Or we need to build a bigger building or something because we have so many people. There'll be 2,000 people or so that join us on Easter Sunday here. So that means we need more help parking cars, more help teaching kids in Sunday school, more help picking up trash, more help making sure the bathrooms have toilet paper in them. How many know that that would ruin Easter pretty quick? Everything was going great. And you're in the stall. Okay, let's keep going. But we need people to help with that. Maybe so you might think, well, you know, I just started. I don't know much or whatever. There's things that are easy. Parking is so important. Driving the cart, helping people, pointing them in the right direction, where to drop your kids off and all that. That's so important. That's easy to do if you're brand new. There's other roles like musician, singer, sound engineer, graphics, television, not television, internet, and all that stuff. So there's all different things. You can check a box on here. And here's the thing. Well, this is what my pastor used to say. We're serving the bread of life, right? This is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life that we're going to be serving on Easter. We don't have to do it on a paper plate. We can do it on the best plate we can find, polish it up, clean it, make it sparkling. The plate is our service. It's our property. It's our environment. That's the gospel is being presented throughout the service. So we need everybody's help to do it the best way we can do it possible. On the bottom here is another little box that says, I'm open to serving at the Lockhart campus. So maybe this is your home campus here. It probably is San Marcos. We have another church campus in Lockhart. So if you would be open to serving over there maybe once a month, we'd love for you to check that box right there. We're always looking for fresh infusion of energy over in the Lockhart campus. So you can check that box as well. But here in a minute, we're going to be passing the offering plate. And as we do, you can put this card in it today. If you're already serving somewhere, you don't need to put this in there. But if this is for brand new folks that are just thinking about serving for the first time, and this is not a lifelong commitment. Some of you might be like, I got that trip coming up. I'm not sure. Just check the box and put it in the thing. And we'll talk to you about that. I mean, this is not a lifetime commitment. Serve for Easter Sunday and that's it. Serve for 2 months. Serve for 3 months. Serve till summer. Serve till you die. Just serve. Make it available. Make yourself available. Eliminating all those excuses. Would you bow your heads and let's pray right now. We're praying first and foremost with all the folks that feel like you're on the outside looking in and you're ready to surrender your heart to God today. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the moment where a new beginning is presenting itself to you. And so let's pray a prayer of surrender to God right now, prayer of repentance. You can pray the exact words I'm praying, or you can just kind of pray your own words in the same thought, but let's do it right now. Lord Jesus, we give you our life today. I surrender my life to you today. I give you everything. Please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me of the things I've done that are not like you. Please heal me. Please heal me from the hurts, the hang-ups. Lord, I surrender to you today. I trust in you, Jesus. Jesus, I believe you're my Savior. Jesus, I believe you did everything I need. I believe you took care of everything, Jesus. I believe in your death, your burial, your resurrection. I believe in you, Jesus. Take me where I am right now. Take me, Lord. I make myself open and available to receive your Spirit. I'm available to receive your Spirit, God. Fill me with your Spirit, I pray. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, come be with us today. Fill us with your presence. Move through us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And for everybody here that's already a believer, but you're struggling, and maybe you have not made your talent, your treasure, your time available to God, let's do that right now. Let's just pray. Lord, I make it available, Lord. I'm going to look for areas and look for time and look for space and look for resources that I've been hoarding, that I've been ambivalent about, that I've been lazy about, that I've been selfish about. And instead, Lord, I'm going to be selfless. I want to be generous instead of a hoarder. I'm going to be a giver, Lord, instead of a miser. I'm going to have faith, God, instead of fear. With my treasure, my talent, my time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.